This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm John Oliver, member number one. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. It's Chris with you and in the studio tonight.
For this program, we have...
Gordon.
Hello.
Yeah. Chirpy.
And Phil.
Oh. Yeah. Lovely to have you listening with us today.
Yeah.
We're in this new little time slot, so you'll have to bear with us because...
We're going to have to get used to it, aren't we?
And you are too.
Oh, we're easy to get used to.
Oh, yes, we're very definitely that.
Now, one of the things that we can't do is this time round is actually respond to your emails in a direct manner. But please still send them to beenthere@joy.org.au and we'll be able to respond to them in the following program.
That'll be a good idea. Yes, and if you want some special music played on special day, you might even just tell us something like that. We might be able to fit it in for you.
Oh,
couldn't we do that?
Oh, we can bend over backwards,
I'm not bending over backwards, but
do your back in.
It's not my best position.
Well,
what about you, Phil? Have you got a crook back?
I do, and it won't be bending very much unless we're talking musically.
Oh, I see.
Right. Okay.
Well, the purpose of our little show Being There, Done That is to sort of highlight some of the gay icons, dicons and bicons in our community, those pioneers that have been and sort of prepared the way for us.
Some of them are still with us. Some of them are gone.
That's right. Mm. And some of us are going to join them soon.
I hope not.
Well, it's inevitable, Gordon.
Oh, yes, I know. It's like taxes.
Oh. No, I'm going to join the living ones.
You're going to.
Much more lively club.
That's the one I would have liked to have joined too. Yes, yeah.
Well, in fact, I would actually have to say that Phil is a very good example of someone who has really found himself again in the gay community.
Right where I left me.
But you turned around and there you were.
I didn't know I was there.
Oh, well, therefore, that's how you found yourself.
I'll give a please explain.
Oh, well, perhaps we'll do that off air then. Perhaps we'll do that off air. We've just been through some mind-altering experiences.
Well, we've had daylight saving changed on the weekend, which is always it always takes me 2 days to get over it.
Only 2 days?
I find
days?
It a clock-altering experience. Yes, I'm not over it. I'm not too sure if I've had an extra hour of sleep or whether... The bottom line is I'm tired. And the dog looks at me like, yesterday we were at the park at this time, now I'm sitting on a chair and I'm not sleepy.
Yeah. This is the problem. I suffer from jet lag whenever I travel. And just an hour of daylight saving, it takes me a couple of days to get over it.
Yeah, it's the same concept.
The same concept, yeah. Well, you go to bed. See, I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night. I turned the light off at 10 o'clock last night, which was actually 11 o'clock from the day before, which...
Doesn't matter what time the clock says, or it's really as the animals, as it is young
Eddie. It's
circadian rhythms. We've all got them.
Yes.
Although white people aren't too good with the rhythm.
No.
We can't dance.
I can dance.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
But the thing is, of course, that... we don't let the circadian rhythms actually operate as they should do.
No, that's true.
We keep the bright white light on, especially that little square one in the corner of the room, and that upsets our body clocks.
Well, of course, the invention of electricity and electric light changed our circadian rhythms, of course. Mm. Up until then, we went to bed by the sun and we got up at the sunlight and slept for 4 hours, got up in the middle of the night, made sure the fire was still going.
I have a solution. I have two solutions.
What's that?
One is travel on a Boeing 787, mm-hmm. where they adjust the light to match your destination. So it goes from blues through oranges and all different colours.
Oh, it goes through a sunset phase.
It does. It's like a rainbow It's a rainbow trip. That's good for gay people.
It's a gay old time.
A gay old time and in the 787, right?
The other place is on your iPhone. You can get an app, because you can get an app for anything.
Yeah.
An app will change all the colours on your phone to match your circadian rhythms.
Oh.
Yes, there are people out there with that much time on their hands.
Yeah. Well, my circadian rhythm tells me to go to bed at night and sleep until the following morning.
You were born and adopted that profile, your time management, because of your parents. Were they in a work profession that required them to be up at Sparrows?
No, not at all.
They certainly didn't have TV.
No, that's right. We didn't have TV in those days. No, that's right. But no, I've always been a good sleeper. I've always just gone to bed at night and slept right through the day until I had to get up in the morning.
Wow.
I don't wake up. If I wake up at night time, it's just for a second and I'm going back to sleep again.
Yeah. Well, of course, the Tweeties, they sort of work the sun hours, and so does young Reggie the dog, by the sound of things.
Eddie.
Young Eddie.
Yes, which is why they don't like eclipses.
Because
it's worse than jet lag. Yeah. The birds go to sleep.
Yep.
They hardly get tucked in and the sun's up again. I think, oh, we must have been out late last night.
It was a party at home.
Oh, I can't remember a thing we did.
Like the 60s. If you'd lived them, you can't remember them.
Well, I was a preteen in the 60s, so.
Oh, well, I wasn't, but I can still remember them. Yeah. Another thing with daylight saving is that you should always change the batteries in your smoke detectors at home, because it's a good way to keep the batteries alive and your smoke detector going.
Well, in some ways, when you're going around with a broom taking down the cobwebs, you should put the handle up to it.
Make sure it beeps.
And make sure it does beep. Mm. Oh, squeak.
Yeah, squeak. I burnt some toast one time in the morning and I didn't realise, because my kitchen is a long way from my bedroom, and all of a sudden, at about 6 o'clock in the morning, the bloody alarm went off, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I'll wake up the whole neighbourhood.
But you're correct. The batteries need to be changed, but also the actual smoke detector unit needs to be changed. If it's one of the old style that are not hardwired into your electrical circuitry. Mm. Now, Gordon and myself have probably got houses that don't have fixed detectors, but about
wave
you,
your
Phil?
Hands over there, Phil. He's got an electrical one.
You've got a new house.
I'm in a 2-year-old apartment.
Yes.
Now, I do have the latest in technology.
Yes.
But I can also tell you that when your battery goes flat, your smoke detector chirps.
Yes, that's right.
It makes a single little chirp.
It goes chip,
every
chip,
few
chip.
Seconds. Mm-hmm. The bad news is, if you've got neighbours who don't know what the noise is and don't change their battery, it drives you crazy.
The birds keep you awake.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, but it's just amazing that that is one of the main things about the thing. And of course, we're changing seasons right now too. We're really coming back into autumn weather now,
and
which is really nice.
We've had our autumnal equinox.
We have had our autumnal equinox, which is usually the...
We add that to our circadian rhythms. We're really a very technical little show, aren't we?
Oh, yes. Wait until we don't press
Wait till we
buttons.
Find out what these words mean.
No, but I do love the seasons. I lived for a few years in the tropics.
Oh, they don't have them
there. It was either hot or it was hot and muggy.
Yeah, hot or hot and humid.
Yeah. And
that's why I
really do appreciate the leaves turning brown, falling off the trees,
the
colourful, the change in flowers that actually grow or respond.
Right. Yeah.
And have you planted your bulbs?
Actually, I was walking home from the bank the other day, and there was on the street was somebody had laid out kaffir lilies, the lovely orange flowered lilies, and they'd laid them out in a row for people to take off the street. So I picked up four of them and took them home and planted them.
Little lily pincher.
But, there was a whole pile of them there. So I thought, well, I carried four home, so that was nice.
Yeah,
and I went out and I dug a hole and put the water in.
That poor family had decorated their house with these beautiful flowers, and people came along and stole them.
They were there for...
Please take one?
Obviously, they'd sorted some because they spread, and they'd taken them out of the garden, and so they put them out in the thing for people to take.
I've got a Simpsons
And they're very
reference.
Expensive if you go and buy them.
Oh, well, it's obviously cheaper to steal them.
Yeah.
But a quick Simpsons reference.
Oh, yes.
Because I mentioned the term, please take one.
Oh, right.
Which is referred to taking one lily and walking off. The Simpsons were meeting in the kitchen to determine where they're going for the next vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And Homer steps back and there's, you know, those pamphlet shelves that you see in hotel lobbies with all the things to do.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And Marge says, I really think you should have just taken the pamphlets. And on the top it says, please take one. So Homer said, I took one.
The lot.
Yeah. And then they selected their vacation. We can go back to the show now.
Well, thank you very much. But a little trick, if you haven't already planted your bulbs, put them in the bottom of the fridge for a couple of days first before you plant them, and then they think, it's time to start growing again. Especially tulips. They need to know that they're in cold weather.
My daffodils, they're in permanently. They just keep multiplying. But I had a problem with them. They seem to be coming to the surface for some reason. I don't know whether it was the roots of the tree that has grown near them are pushing them out, or whether it was the cats coming along.
I think, as you say, they're multiplying, and of course they're clumping, and the only escape they got is upwards.
Mm. It's so worse than that. It's evolution.
Oh, is it?
In a few years, they grow feet.
Oh.
And then they take over.
Oh, it's the day of the triffids all over again.
The day of the daffodils.
Well, the day of tulips, where do they come from?
In Holland.
No,
they come from Turkey, actually.
Exactly.
They come from Turkey, actually, yes.
And why would you imagine that there is sort of a seasonal growth for them?
Well,
because they have cold seasons in Turkey.
Of course they do. They have snow on their mountains up in Mount Ararat or wherever it is.
Something like that as well.
They have the thing there. So.
Well, let's have a listen to Sam Sparrow. He's got a couple of words to talk about happiness here on Joy. Been there, done that. Gordon, Phil and Chris.
Bring joy to the world. Listen to us everywhere. Download the Joy smartphone app now at joy.org.au.
Yes, you're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us.
I hope you're enjoying the show.
We are.
Yes, we're so happy with the way things are ticking over tonight. It's as though we're dancing around a maypole.
Now,
of course, you realise in 1644, the English Parliament banned maypoles.
Because one of the...
Spoil sports.
Because the spoil sport was one of these conservative blokes that sort of... It represented a phallic symbol or something or other. They thought that the girls dancing around a pole was very, very naughty.
That's what
they did, was dance around a pole with coloured ribbons and bits and pieces of stuff. And the younger girls went round the centre and the older girls went round the outside. And then they wove the ribbons into patterns on the thing, and then they had to unwind them. That was all that maypole dancing was. But it was for a reason. It was to celebrate the coming of the change of season.
Well, that was the northern hemisphere
spring.
Arrival of spring.
Mm-hmm.
And the fecundity, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Life going on, life being reborn.
That's another word for my thesaurus.
Yes. Go and look at that and see what it means.
Yeah.
The randiness that comes with spring.
That's right. Everything's growing. Everyone wants to multiply and be impregnated with the seeds of the flowers and everything start coming forward. But it's a very old Germanic tradition is maypole dancing.
Yeah. Apparently.
What do they call it in May German?
They do. They call it. There is a German name for it. It's something. Mainblum.
Mainblum. Yeah. Mainblum.
It's clearly the gayest looking thing ever.
Oh yes, it
all
is.
These people hanging on to ribbons and dancing around a pole. I mean, please, I don't care what they did in the old times, but it has to be the gayest thing going around.
I've done the maypole dance.
I believe you.
Let's face it. Who said I was gay?
But also
who
in Germany, knock knock. Also in Germany, they have a thing with asparagus.
Do they?
Because it is the season for these asparagus to grow. And if you've ever had a look at that, it is also
rather
quite
phallic.
It is rather phallic. Yeah. And they get terribly excited about Spargel season. The Spargel is the name for asparagus.
Asparagus, yeah.
Because, once again, it's a fertility symbol.
Yeah, but it goes right back to the Romans. The Romans actually did it as well. The Romans had a sort of a maypole dance as well. Whether they took it to Germany or not, I'm not quite sure.
Well,
but
the Romans did go to Germany.
They were in Germany. They were in Germany. They were. That's right. They went right through the whole lot, and then from there they probably took it across to England and Britain.
Well.
But apparently the Welsh, the Celts in Wales, have always done a maypole dance for centuries. Apparently,
So, well, they certainly didn't have TV. So,
well, what else would you do with your time? Yeah, because you had to go to bed at sundown.
Yes, but it's interesting that the fertility rites. There would have been a god in Roman times and in Greek times.
Oh, yeah, surely.
And let's see, what else? Oh, the Japanese. They do.
Everybody, every
major culture.
Major culture in the Northern Hemisphere seems to have had this thing. I'm not sure about North America or the American Indians or anything. They probably just went out and killed a buffalo. But, well, that was their third source and their tent source. That's where they made their tents from, the skins.
Stereotyping?
No, it's what they did in the old days.
They didn't
I'm talking
have supermarkets,
about, I'm
did
talking
they?
About centuries. Yeah, all those cultures sort of did do this, celebrate the arrival of spring, the end of winter and spring coming forth.
They couldn't just accept the fact that they were horny. They had to find some god to blame or some festival to hold.
Yeah.
Well, that was see because they didn't have television to tell them what it was. They just enjoyed themselves.
Well, that was why we call them pagans, because they were worshipping or acknowledging all those various gods
other
that
various.
Were embedded in the seasons, in the crops,
and
in the rocks.
And their culture.
And no doubt the Aboriginal Australians also have some connections into the country in which they live of celebratory events as well.
I tell you one place where they won't have a maypole competition.
Where is that?
That's in the Olympic Games.
Why not?
Well, could you imagine? Could you imagine thousands?
I can imagine the training.
What do you think the javelin throwing is?
And rhythmic gymnastics.
Oh,
well, they can combine them. Yeah, throw the javelin into the rhythmic gymnastics to see what
make the games go quicker.
Leaping over a horse. Come on, there's
yeah.
And what about the wrestling?
Well, therefore, you couldn't wrestle with a ribbon, could you?
No, but man-on-man wrestling, getting back to Turkey.
Where it came from.
Well,
where
that's
the oiled
right.
wrestling.
But that was exactly it, oiled wrestling.
That wrestling came from the Greeks as well. They all wrestled in those days. You know,
didn't have porn.
There was a manly sport.
very manly.
And let's face it, it carries on these days into rugby.
That's right. And, of course, on April the 6th in 1896, after 1,500 years of not having Olympic Games, Pierre de Coubertin decided at a meeting with the international sports body that he would like to think that they could reintroduce the Olympic Games. So that's what they did. And in 1896, they had they revived the Olympic Games in Athens on the 6th of April in 1896. So they took back to the original.
It was announced with those famous words, "Let the corruption begin."
Yes. Have you?
Who would like to hold the next game? Yes. Just give me some presents.
Have you ever read Philip, The Lords of the Rings? The Lords of the Rings is all about the people that control the Olympic Games, and it is a expose of the corruption that goes on. It is a fabulous book if you can get hold of it. Probably out of print by now, but I read it years ago. And it's a really, really interesting book. It's just amazing.
Mm. Well, they're going through the process at the moment in the current press of identifying the missing millions and missing billions.
Our government will never investigate anything like that because it's not called a union.
Nope. We know where you're
written, spoken, and authorised.
But it's true. It's true. Yeah. But they used to have the Olympic Games way back when, in 776 BC, when they first started the Olympic Games.
Yeah, but then they fizzled out. Didn't
but they did. They? They did fizzle out because
the early games consisted of a guy called Ugg getting a stick and hitting his woman and saying, "Ugh, mine."
No.
All the Olympic athletes in the old days were naked. Women weren't involved, of course. It was only men. They were all naked.
It was actually the demise of the Olympic Games, Greek and or Roman, was the rise of Christianity.
Yes, they sort of stopped.
Because they reckoned that the games were pagan.
Mm.
Once again.
That's pagan.
The old gods.
Anything we didn't make up is wrong.
Yes.
Oh, golly gosh.
And they used to compete for a Greek urn.
How much is a Greek urn?
No, you meant to say, what's a Greek urn?
What's a Greek urn? Two and six a day.
It doesn't matter anymore. Well, Greece is in such trouble, they probably don't earn much at all.
Oh,
what's
wow.
a Greek
urn? And, of course, coming up in 2 years' time, as they announced today, we're going to be having the Commonwealth Games here in Australia.
Oh, yes.
2 years to today being the day that we're here.
Yeah. No, okay, then. A bit in it, roughly 2 years' time.
Definitely 2 years'
time. Where to be held?
On the Gold Coast in Queensland again. They had the last they had a Commonwealth Games in Brisbane back in 1980-something rather. I know I went to it, the opening ceremony up there. Yeah, but it's going to be at the Gold Coast, apparently, this time round.
Yes, I don't know what facilities they have, but I guess they know.
No, they've got a footy stadium.
They've got stadiums.
Have the swimming there.
Yeah, and they've got a rather amazing little mascot.
He's a blue koala in yellow Speedos.
On a surfboard?
Well, he has a surfboard.
He's hanging on to a surfboard or something, is he?
Well, he's a surfer, so that's what they do.
Right.
But he's got a local Aboriginal name, and it's, what did we come up with?
Borriby.
We might be corrected in future.
Yes.
Well, please let us know. Been there at joy.org.au. But now we've got Safe and Sound from Capital Cities here on Joy. Been there, done that.
Talking about
Gordon,
Capital
Phil
Cities.
Chris.
We were talking about Gold Coast.
I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. You could be my luck.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us.
That was an interesting song you just played, Safe and Sound.
Yeah, Capital Cities. Actually, I brought it back from Germany with me a few years ago.
All right.
And showed it to our music director, and he said, oh, that sounds good enough.
Hmm.
And, yes, it was on the hit parades there in Germany, but didn't escape from Europe.
A lot of that happens, of course, with music. It doesn't escape from the country that it's in. You get a lot of music from Britain that doesn't travel further than Britain, and a lot of stuff from France and Germany and Denmark.
Well, although we artists here, like Johnny Farnham, as he was, has had quite a wonderful career.
Yeah.
Never really took off overseas.
That's right. There's very few people, very few Australians, they have cracked the American market, which is the big one. But there's not a lot that managed to do it, but a lot have done it, because they've been so talented. But the music from overseas is, even in the daytime music program, lots of stuff from Denmark and Holland and that sort of stuff. Yeah,
well, of course, that's the beauty of the European Song Contest.
Oh, yes, that's coming up again.
Given exposure to all those. I mean, I love the Russian grandmas.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
But lots of other music comes out, and, of course, it's such the gayest event on earth.
And, of course, there's a big TV program. Of course, somebody was...
TV is our educator at the moment, isn't it?
Well, not really. With some of the programs, you wouldn't call them educational. I'm sorry.
Others are.
Some others are, yes.
Yes, yes.
But, one of the great TV stars of the few that has been on but is no longer with us has a birthday on the 5th of April. That's tomorrow, our time. Mm. That was Sir Nigel Barnard Hawthorne.
No, Sir Nigel, well, better probably known as Sir...
Humphrey
Appleby.
Yes, that's
in
right.
In the BBC comedy series Yes Minister.
Prime Minister. Yes, Prime Minister, yeah.
Nigel Hawthorne was, in fact, playing a public servant of the style we never know out here in Australia.
Oh, but I don't know about that. Because
we don't see them anymore because all those services are outsourced these days.
That's right,
in Australia.
Yes.
But this was where Nigel Hawthorne played a superior being.
Well, he went to a wonderful school.
He did,
did. Which matters so much in England, to go which school you go to.
And because he was the Prime Minister's or a Minister's assistant, he was able to tell the Minister that they were wrong.
That's right.
And subvert some of the actions that the Minister wanted to implement, blah, blah, blah. And you wonder, how close is this to actual reality?
Well.
And Peter Cretlin and the Prime Minister here in Australia recently comes to mind.
Yes, but a friend of mine worked for the public service and fairly high up in the public service, and when he used to watch this program, he'd be on the floor shrieking with laughter because he could see the parallels of what was actually happening in the government departments that he was involved in those days.
I'm not too sure if I'd be laughing or crying.
Today you'd be crying, I think. It's just one of those things. But it was such a brilliant portrayal. And he was a very clever man.
He was a professional actor, Sir Nigel Hawthorne, not only on TV, he was on stage doing the usual Shakespeare's and stuff like that. But he also did some serious roles, The Madness of George III, and couple of other films that I can't recall at the moment, but he also did voiceovers on a couple of Disney films as well. Mm-hmm. So,
but The Madness of King George, he was up for an Academy Award for that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where they outed him, of course, which he was very annoyed about.
Well, that's the bit that we're getting to, that his personal life, that he was intensely private, and he was upset.
But he went to the thing with his longtime partner.
Yeah, like, but in 1995, so he was sort of safe to come out.
Yeah, well, I think the British didn't care very much, really, because with their great actors, how many great actors like have been knighted?
Yeah.
You know, and they've been as gay as all get out, you know.
That's right.
And it's, so it doesn't matter, you know, that they're wonderful.
Or as Ellen DeGeneres says, Mum, she's not my roommate.
Yeah, but there's only one bedroom. Yes, and there was another little thing that was done by someone talking about straightening the house for when your in-laws visited.
That's a song from Romanovsky and Phillips. Romanovsky, and yeah. I've got that on CD, and okay, I have played it on Sunday morning.
What were the circumstances with the Academy Awards? Did somebody thank him and say, and he was gay at the end of it?
No, it was in the publicity surrounding the awards.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't actually at the awards.
So it's not the source of the movie.
No, Kevin. No.
What's his name?
Who?
Klein.
Kevin Klein.
Not Calvin Klein. It's where this young actor wins his first Academy Award and thanks his teacher, and he says, and he was gay. And of course, he hadn't come out, and probably right. didn't know he was gay.
That's in a movie with Kevin Kline. Yeah,
yeah. I can't think of the name.
Yes, a very clever movie. Yeah, about a school teacher. Yeah, that was lovely. But also having a birthday this week, I think is another out and proud gay man.
Well,
his birthday today actually is Graham Norton.
Graham Norton. Now he's currently on
comedian.
Your TV, and he's as all gay as get out, as they say.
Yeah,
and he's had a brilliant career, although. He was a naughty boy to begin with.
He's camper than a row of tents.
He is, but greatly accepted by the audiences that he went to. Now, isn't that familiar situation?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
very sorry, not only Irish TV and English TV, yeah, but Australian TV
as well,
had
as well.
A very
yeah.
similar sort of a situation.
That's right, yeah. Well, I read once where somebody said that Graham Norton must have watched a lot of In Melbourne Tonight with Graham Kennedy because he said he looks so much like Graham Kennedy the way he carries on. But I've seen a live show of Graham Norton doing his stand-up comedy, and the place was in a huge big football stadium, and it was packed. And the people were just screaming with laughter.
But he's got a very fast brain.
The brain.
And a very sharp wit.
Yeah, that's true.
You wouldn't want to catch him on a... Or you wouldn't want to upset him on a good day.
On a good day, I think he'd tear you to shreds. But,
that's right. And love every minute of it.
Then also, somebody who died today, April the 4th, in 1995, was another very famous out English comedian.
Well, he was a very naughty boy,
too. He was a very naughty boy.
Kenny Everett, we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Actually, born in 1944 on Christmas Day, and he died on the 4th of April, 1995. So he wasn't a terribly old guy when he...
Died of an AIDS-related illness. AIDS-related illness in 1993, I think it was.
But once again, he actually was well and truly into the gay scene because he was a friend of Freddie Mercury. Now, there's a bit of a story behind that.
Well, not that they were friends. They can be friends as much as they like.
Yeah.
But when Bohemian Rhapsody was recorded...
Yes.
And they did that wonderful film clip, which cost £3,000, which is very cheap. But Kenny loved the song, and of course we now all love the song, but it was too long for radio.
Why?
It was more than 3 minutes. It was...
Oh, right.
I think it goes for about 5 minutes.
Or probably more.
Yeah, well,
album version.
Yeah, but the one that they play now on the radio is about 5 minutes.
Was taboo back in those days.
Well, it was good.
They believed that 3 minutes was enough.
No, but it was good for a toilet break.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking as a radio presenter. But what Kenny did to encourage the record company was to play the song.
Mm-hmm. And he played the song.
And he played the song continuously for nearly 12 hours.
Yes, he played it for so long that everybody was... He brainwashed them into liking it, so they all went out and bought it.
Yeah, and it's... Well, it was always a good track. it was just that it never got a chance on radio because of its
duration. Well, they have so much music coming out all the time that it's they've got to be something startling to get to make it to the top. Mm. You know, this is the trouble with the music scene, like in a country like England or America, where everybody's sort of producing songs and they really not want to push
them. But Kenny, I would say, had a great deal of effect on the entire music and radio and television industries.
Well, he was in that Radio London, which was one of the pirate radio ships. He was on that for a long, long time.
Ernie Sickley did that too.
Ernie Sickley did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was also on Radio Luxembourg and Radio One, the BBC Radio
And then he did his television shows, which were absolutely brilliant. We saw them out here in Australia and they were absolutely fabulous. He played all the different characters.
Yeah, towards the end of his career, he was documented musically.
Yes.
How? What?
And he, as just, well, not coincidence, by sheer design, the song Video Killed the Radio Star was about his career because he was a radio star.
Oh!
Music TV came along, and music TV is otherwise known as MTV.
MTV, yes, that's right.
And the first song ever played on MTV was a song by The Buggles called Video Killed the Radio Star.
And here it is.
It sounds a bit like this.
You'll enjoy.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
Yes, you're with Chris, Phil and Gordon. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. Oh, let's wind those up a little bit more.
Still tapping my foot from that song.
Oh, The Buggles.
The Buggles.
Don't write them like that anymore.
Well,
it was the 80s.
It was the 80s indeed, yeah. Someone who, having a birthday around about this time, is Janice Ian.
Yep.
Born on the April the 7th, 1951. And she is not only a singer of note, but she is a lady of our community.
Yes, because her filmmaker partner is Timo Sago.
Gesundheit.
That was the first one she married. They divorced in 1983. But
then she met Patricia Schneider.
And she met Patricia Schneider, and she's been with her for a while now.
Yes.
I just like her birth name.
What?
Fink. Janice Eddie Fink.
Yes.
And I would say to myself, I think I'm going to change that.
What a good idea. But no, Janice Ian had some nice songs back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
but they were very
performing.
Quiet and slow. Hmm. Not up to the speed that we normally play here on Joy.
And she's still very popular.
Is she?
Yeah, whenever she has a concert, she sells out.
Now, why is this so? Is this because she has a simple accompaniment?
She has a great following in the women's community.
Yes.
Of course, being a gay woman, she would have. But the way she sings the songs is very, very nice. I've seen her perform, and I think she's wonderful.
She sings intimately.
Yes, yes, even in a huge place.
Because she doesn't have a backing group, I understand.
No, she just, I think it's piano.
Yeah.
Piano, sits at the piano and plays.
And it's her, and if she buggers up, she buggers up, but she doesn't.
No, she learnt the truth at 17, that love was just for beauty queens.
Oh.
And I don't know any more of the lyrics. I was going quite nicely.
You're going very well there. I thought he was going to sing it in a minute.
Oh, no, 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 no.
No, we haven't got the CD, and so thank you, Phil. No CD, no competition.
I've just planted it in everybody's head, and they wake up tomorrow, and why am I thinking that?
At 17.
Well, have you ever been to England, up into the north of the country, into Derbyshire, where there is, in the Peak District, a big, beautiful building called Chatsworth House?
The House of the Duke and Duchess of Devonshire.
Okay.
Oh, can we have tea?
Yes, yes, you can
Devonshire tea.
You can have Devonshire tea.
Yes, I wonder what way it would serve you. They would serve you tea and
scones.
Scones.
With jam and cream, please.
No. Mm. I wonder if they might be banana scones.
They probably invented banana cake and Mrs. Bjelke Petersen took it from them.
Oh, probably, probably.
No, that was pumpkin
cake. Why are
we
talking Cavendish House? Well, Chatsworth.
They're very famous for one particular brand of fruit, which has gone all around the world, believe it or not, from England.
And there's a song written about it.
There is too. Yes, we have no bananas. And
another song is banana na 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 na. Banana. Yeah,
actually,
I might be wrong on that
actually,
one.
Actually, 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday, I announced that it was the anniversary of the first release of the song, Yes, We Have No Bananas. And I'm not sure whether it was written about the Cavendish banana, because that's what we're talking about. And
Are we talking about bananas or the fact that we have no bananas?
Yes.
Because they're entirely different subjects.
Well, I think they didn't have any at the time. That's why they sang the song.
Well, why were they being so misleading and saying, yes, we have no bananas?
Because that's probably what they were saying when they were in a fruit shop.
Why was that the question? Do you go into a shop and say, do you have no bananas? And they say, yes.
We have no bananas.
Well, it was a shoe shop, so it really kind of explained itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course we have no bananas. Would you like some shoes? Yeah,
probably.
I'm asking about bananas.
Yeah, but
who's on first?
The gardener from the Cavendish family, he planted the first plantain of... for bananas. Bananas are a plantain, of course. And he planted it. They had a lovely warm spot, which it's
yeah.
I've seen it on television, the way they did it. And he planted it with lots of water and really mulch and really worked out manure and stuff. And he put it in there and the thing grew. And it took a while, but eventually it flowered and they had 100 bananas.
This freaks me out a little bit because, as you say, it flowered. And I'm wondering if a banana is therefore self-pollinating, because there wasn't another banana palm, tree, bush, shrub around anywhere else.
There must have been a compatible plant.
I don't know. Yes. I've got no idea whether, being a plantain, it might not, you see, because it's a variety of plant is a plantain.
Sounds like a salted cracker.
Yes, it does a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. We're talking about 200 years ago.
Yeah, we're talking 1700.
Oh, yeah. Was it then?
On the subject of gardeners, if I can just say a very quick thing I saw on TV last night.
Oh, no.
Modern Family.
Uh-oh.
They were doing the Hollywood tours of stars' homes.
Yes.
And the young kids of the family were taking out their gay uncle, and they had found Barbara Streisand's house.
Mm-hmm.
And they took him there because he's gay and he's going to love Barbara Streisand's house. And they're there in the driveway taking selfies and doing all sorts of things. And, of course, it hasn't been Barbara Streisand's house for 15 years.
No.
And the actor Ray Liotta comes out with a garden hose and says, what are you people doing here? This is my house. And the uncle says, oh, you're Ray Liotta. And one of the kids says, he must really know everything about Barbara. He knows the name of her gardener.
No, well, it was 180 years ago in Derbyshire that they did plant this plantain, and it grew and it flowered or whatever they do, and it had 100 bananas on it. And when they were then able to send those bananas basically to the Canary Islands, they sent plantain plants to the Canary Islands and basically all around the world. And when the bananas in Chile or Nicaragua or somewhere were wiped out in the Panama plague disease thing, they were able to replace them with Cavendish bananas, which were not susceptible to the Panama disease.
Ah.
But they're not as tasty a banana as
the native
the ones that we get here now. And what they want to do is cross-pollinate them to make them...
Strengthen them up,
yeah.
My speedy little brain was one word ahead of you.
What was that?
And you were saying bananas in...
pajamas! No,
I didn't say pajamas.
I heard pajamas.
Bananas in Panamas.
Yes.
So Cavendish bananas have gone basically right around the world. They went to the South Pacific.
I want to be one then.
They took quite a few plants out to the South Pacific, but one survived, and they planted it in Samoa, and that's where Samoa's banana thing comes from.
Wow.
One plantain.
And you know why it did so well? One guy tried one banana, and he said, I want Samoa.
Samoa
bananas.
You just had an opportunity not to say that.
But he did.
And I passed.
Oh, golly gosh.
Yeah, but so that's where our bananas are at the moment. And, of course, there's a bit of a thing about an Australian banana thing. It's not happened, but they're very worried that Panama disease will come into Australia.
Exactly, and because we're a one-brand banana country,
that's right.
We are really in strife the whole lot. Do you remember when we had that cyclone and we didn't have any bananas?
Bananas were something like $12 a kilo or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and for about 5 months or 6 months. But also, did you notice, we never imported any because that could have been a vector for getting some of these other bugs.
But the Panama disease can be airborne. It can come in on a storm, but the storms will pick it up and...
That's why we're lucky to be so far away from everybody.
That's right, yes. We do, fortunately, being an island continent,
And for all our travelling listeners, as you go through the airport, if you're bringing in fruit and vegetables from overseas, bin them.
Benham.
And that Chinese guy gets caught on every episode of airport security. Put it in the bin. Don't argue.
But the actually, Australia at the moment are having a bit of a fruit fly problem. A fruit fly problem.
A bit like your speech problem.
Yes. And they're very worried that the some of the fruit flies can wipe out some of the things.
Well, we got to keep our noses clean then on that regard. Also, the anniversary of the setting sail of the Titanic.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, golly gosh. Yes, golly gosh. So yes. We won't be able to talk much about that because we're coming to the end of the program.
On the behalf of the ship line, though, we would like to apologise for those who bought round-trip tickets.
Thank you very much. Yes. Too much information. Mm. Very good then. Okay, well...
Well, we hope you enjoy the new time slot for our show now, and we enjoy being here just to make sure that you get it. That's the main thing.
And we're much more sophisticated at this time of day.
We are, yes.
And knowledgeable.
And knowledgeable.
And witty.
Oh, yes.
I'm seeing the reviews now. Things you won't hear on this show.
Yes. Not much. Yeah, but it's just a wonderful thing to be doing this. It really is. And, of course, if you're listening to us and you really want to get in contact with us, you can email to beanthere@joy.org.au.
Correct.
And we can, if you want to make some comment or you want something to be played, if you're going to be wide awake at that hour of the night.
We can have the world's slowest email conversations.
Weekly one.
It's only a week to wait for an answer.
But it's been wonderful, and we hope that you've enjoyed what we've been putting up with.
Yeah. Because and when we come back next week, we might talk about the films that we've seen at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
Well, I'll sit here in silence because I won't have seen any. I don't get it out.
My dance card is so full. I've got 12 films to watch.
Your brain will be mush by the time you finish with them because you think, what have I seen? What have I been watching? You know, I know people that go to one old friend of mine who's actually part of Vintage Men. He used to go to virtually every film he could get to.
And he turned out to be gay.
Is
it cause or effect?
He went before he was gay. but I tell you what, if you really want to see a good program about being gay, go on to iView for the ABC. Yeah. It was on ABC Channel 2 during the week. It was called How Gay is Pakistan? Absolutely unbelievable story of this young boy from England who was born in Lahore, went back to Lahore and went through the gay community. And it's huge, actually, in the thing there. And a lot of the workers come in from the country, and because they can't get women, they have sex with one another. They just, you know, and they've got a chap goes around from an AIDS clinic and gives them out condoms and tells them how to use them and all the rest of it. Fabulous program about being gay in Pakistan.
That is practical advice.
Are we about to go?
We are about to go. I better do it. A couple of little signatures, and then we'll hopefully have another program up this time next week.
I was just going to say, in remembrance of Mr. Corbett, who we lost this week.
Oh, right.
I was going to say, it's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
No, him.
And
him.
It's a good night from him.
And good night to you all.
Isn't it good? You line up a joke and they get
it
wrong.
Sorry, but
we didn't practice it.
We didn't practice. If you had told us you were going to do it.
Well, I didn't know till now.
Most of this stuff is totally off the top of our heads, and they're not very pretty either. All right, we'll better say goodbye. Now. Bye for now. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.